Hi, this is comedian Liz Blanc, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment.
Default Setting, where we find out what makes you tick because we have ways of making you talk. I am your host, Jess Falstick.
And I am co-host Gigi Chick.
And today we have comedian and the Bart to my Maggie Simpson, Mr. Josh Lawhorn. How are you?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi. Good.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Your default setting is Marine.
Yeah. I was in the Marines. No big deal, guys. you're looking at a verified, parentheses, non-war hero. I guess. I mean,
war hero.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, never having been to war.
So Trump would really probably like you because you've never been captured or anything.
No, right.
You're a true maverick.
Right,
dude would love me.
That's awesome.
My sharks are hurting my ears. I have shark earrings on, and I think
sharks hurt people sometimes.
Sharks are attacking.
Big
my
fan
ears.
Of sharks.
I actually just got these. I have a subscription service to a monthly jewelry box, and they sent me some shark earrings, and they're cute. They hurt. They're sharks, you know.
Shame.
They're teeth.
Oh, problems.
So, all right. When did you decide you wanted to join the Marines?
It's a funny story. I was 19 years old. I was working at the Cleveland Clinic. I was cleaning out. My job was surgical support services, which sounds cooler than it actually is.
Sounds
but
super
I was
cool.
Just cleaning operating rooms and like taking specimens of like people's livers and C. diff and stuff to like labs to be tested.
That does sound
that
pretty
actually
cool.
Still sounds
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it sounds but like every like so all the doctors and nurses like look down upon you and they like talk down to you and it's just I don't know. I wasn't like it was money but I wasn't, you know, it wasn't what I wanted to do. And I was at a GNC. I was really into working out at the time. I mean, I still kind of am, but I've taken a little break. But I was buying protein bars and this Marine walked into GNC. I'm like, oh, great, this son of a bitch is here. I'm going to have to do this shit now. And he walked right up to me, of course, and he tricked me. And 3 months later, I was signing a piece of paper.
Tricked you.
Yeah, because he just walked up to me. He's like, hey, yeah, it was dumb. I mean, I was.
It's like, hey there.
Hey
he's
there.
Like, hey, you ever thought about being in the military? I was like, yeah, I have, because I didn't like my current situation. So he just asked me some questions. He asked me how many times I smoked weed. And I made the mistake of telling him 20 times, which actually hurt me. Because
like individual separate occasions,
yeah,
you're
individual
saying?
Separate
okay, gotcha,
occasions.
Gotcha. Thought so, you meant like that day.
No, yeah, that day. I had to smoke
20 times
months, dude.
Since I've been awake.
I mean,
how about you?
Yeah, so that actually hurt me because I was supposed to be a weatherman. Yeah,
were you going to school for that?
I was gonna be trained to be a meteorologist.
Oh shit!
Yeah, in the military, and in order to do that, you have to get a top secret security clearance.
Oh
my
God. Damn it!
But
damn
if you
government!
Say you smoked weed more than 5 times, you can't get a top secret security clearance. I found that out 3 days before I left.
What's that
camp.
Fucking number? Like, and yeah. Also, like,
how does that deter? Like, how does that make you not qualified? If anything, you're real chill.
There's standards, you know.
Also,
crap standards.
There's 5 times, as we've established, in the last day. You know what I mean? Like, I just started smoking today, and
pretty
I smoked 5 times. Like,
you just have to lie. Mm. That's, like, what it's about. It's just, can you keep a secret?
So that was part of the, like...
Were there any, like, lie detector tests, though?
No, they don't do that. No.
Okay, that's only the FBI.
So, wait. So, because you had smoked 20 times in your whole life... Even to this day, you could not do meteorology for the Marines.
I could not get a top secret
security
clearance.
What the actual
yeah.
shit? That is so random.
Could not work in the FBI.
Even once marijuana becomes legal.
Even when
they'll
it
be
becomes
like,
legal,
no,
yeah.
Thank you, though.
All right, so everyone at home who's applying for government security clearance, when they ask, you don't have to lie about the fact you've smoked weed. You just have to say 5 or less. So
well,
pick a number.
That's just a top secret clearance.
Under
you can
five.
Still get a secret.
Oh, even if you've smoked like 100 million
yeah,
times?
Yeah,
okay.
yeah, yeah.
I don't think I knew that there was just a secret clearance.
Oh no, level. You let it slip. Now we all know. Oh, no. Yeah,
I thought it was just like you didn't have secret clearance, or you did.
Right. So there's levels. There's like secret, more.
Yeah. There's top secret. There's classified, confidential, secret, top secret, and then there's levels above top secret
that none of us will ever know.
Yeah, that we'll never get. You're not recon.
The top secret.
I mean, does it actually do? I mean, is it kind of like using like more than SPF 50? Like what actually happens when you're above?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah,
you just get to
top. It's like I'm extra top clearance. But what does that entail, sir? Like
extra.
I just don't understand.
Just get to see crazier videos.
How much extra?
A lot. I can't go.
You can see like anything on the dark web.
You can see all of the private YouTube videos that are out there.
Yeah.
They're scanning my stuff as we speak. They're just like, this girl's a weirdo.
Okay, so he tricked you. I mean, like, he tricked you and, like, he made the Marine sound, like, great. Yeah. Or, okay.
Yeah, he made it sound like, he just made it sound like we were having a conversation.
Okay.
And then we, like, met and he, like, showed me. He brought these, like, blocks that he stacked on top of each other and they were, like, 13 leadership traits.
Oh, my God. It's like the Ron Swanson Pyramid of Greatness.
That's what makes me JJ think of. Did tie buckle.
Oh, my God.
Justice, judgment, dependability.
Oh, look at that little mnemonic device.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I thought I was rid of him. He called me while after I left work one day. And he's like, "Hey, he's like, just wondering, you know, are you coming by? You gonna come by and you know, sign up or anything like that?" And I was like, "Well, I mean, we were just talking." He's like, "Wait, I thought that you were gonna
Jesus.
Yeah." So he like started
intimidation.
So he like made it. He tricked me into believing that I had already said yes. So then like at that point, God. Like
that's
I'm
so
like,
creepy.
All right, I gotta do it.
I feel like the New York Times needs to do an expose on like tough recruiting. They probably already have, and I just haven't read it. But that's kind of shitty that they're like playing mind games with like. I mean, you were fucking 19. I mean, you're an adult, but it's not like you knew what the hell.
I was poor.
Life is about.
That's what they do.
Yeah, manipulation.
They manipulate you.
That's some bullshit.
Absolutely.
Wow. So was it that pretty much that phone conversation that landed you into? Is it basic training you guys go through?
Well, okay. So I didn't leave for 9 months. I signed up in January. I didn't leave till September.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you go to boot camp.
Did you get laid a lot in those 9 months? Like, oh, they're shipping me off tomorrow.
No, I was such a nerd. I was such a square. I think I had sex like maybe one time in that 9 months.
That's not how much I was getting
so
laid.
So what did like boot camp entail as like for Marines?
A lot. So it's it's like funny looking back upon it now because like I just laugh about it. But like when you're in it, it's like it seems like torture. It would appear... to be torture to us. But I mean, like, as long as you do what you're told, like, you'll be fine. But yeah, it's just a lot of screaming, yelling. Like, this conversation that we're having, I could not talk at this level.
Okay.
Like, I would have to be like, screaming.
Like,
at the top
you're
of your not
mind.
Every single time you talk. Because if
just
you don't,
screaming.
Yeah, they'd be like, quit talking to me, sweet. Quit talking to me, sweet bitch.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and they would.
True Americans.
Yeah, true Americans. Goddamn heroes. One time so they used to have these pictures up on the walls of like our chain of command in boot camp. And when you walk past them, you had to yell, good morning, ladies, good morning, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one time some kid didn't, so he got his head smashed into one of them. Yeah, that's the type of stuff that goes on.
Oh my God.
I mean, and it's not
but
like
it's
that
kinda
was
like a fucked
a
up fraternity.
Yeah, it's absolutely
and even
up
more
fraternity.
Fucked
yeah.
up fraternity.
Absolutely. Oh,
because those are already so creepy to me.
Yeah.
You can look up videos on YouTube. There was this big controversy in 1997 for like the people that would like jump out of the airplanes, they would get these gold wings, this thing that they could wear.
Mm-hmm.
But like at the ceremony that they would get it, they would have to like wear these white t-shirts and they would just, these dudes would like sit there and they have these spikes on them. So they would sit there and they would like push them into their skin and they would punch them and there's one video of this dude like grabbing the dude by it with his mouth and like picking him up off the ground.
What?
Yeah. Oh, it's just bizarre. You can watch it. It's very bizarre.
So,
yeah.
I mean, is this all for the purpose of prepping you for the horrors of
Yeah, it's
combat?
Just like, it's just like you a bunch of dumb muscle bound freaks, you know, together in a small area with nothing to do.
I'd rather watch G.I. Jane. Thank you very much.
I mean, I guess, I don't know, like, is Marines that's the toughest one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the toughest one that you can just sign up for.
Okay.
Because they're special forces.
Okay.
There's, like, Navy SEALs and Army Recon. Mm-hmm.
With those, do you have? I'm assuming you have to be in the military for a while.
Yeah, you already have to be in, and then you have to like try out for them. And there's people that try out 10 times and never make it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You're going after Bin Laden. You probably kind of have to be the best of the best.
You have to have your shit together.
Be fumbling and
yeah. Zero Dark 30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good movie.
Man, he's so. Bin Laden was crazy because he had diabetes and shit.
Really?
And like, yeah.
I think I vaguely remember.
He had diabetes.
He had to like inject himself in the cave.
He literally had like a little pole with him. Yeah, a little IV that he would carry with him. You've never seen his videos?
Mm-mm.
And that guy.
Apparently not. I thought I had.
Mastermind.
Jesus Christ. He's just like.
I love they raided his hard drives like a few months back.
Yeah.
And they found like loose change. The fucking...
the documentary about 9/11?
9/11 was an inside job, was on his computer.
He watched that and was like, these fuckers. Where's my insulin pump?
Got him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, seriously? Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't wait to tell my brother that. Because he like loves that movie. Like as if it's the Bible. And I'm just like, all right.
Wait, he actually believes that 9/11 was an inside job?
Wholeheartedly.
It wasn't?
Wow.
I mean, there's definitely some creepy factors to it, but like, he is 100% complete setup by the government.
Oh my God. That's terrifying as shit. So how long were you in, is it boot camp, basic training, are those the same things?
Training, boot camp. So that's 13 weeks,
okay.
12 weeks of training, and then like 1 week of like them dolling you up and getting you ready for the cameras and like getting you ready for your family.
So when you get through basic training, like what do you become at that point?
You become a Marine.
Marine?
Yeah. Okay. Before you're a recruit.
What's the, okay, so you're a recruit, then you're a Marine.
Yeah.
And then like, so what are the levels?
The ranks.
Yeah.
So there's enlisted and there's officer. Enlisted, it goes from private, which is E1, all the way up to Sergeant Major, which is E9.
Okay.
So private first class, Lance Corporal. Corporal, Sergeant, Staff Sergeant, Gunnery Sergeant, and then there's a split at E8. So there's Master Sergeant and First Sergeant. Master Sergeant is like you're really good at your job, so you want to go that route, mm-hmm. and you just want to stay technical, and you don't want to like be in like part of be in charge of like companies or anything like that. So you like kind of just stay in your job, and then there's First Sergeant, which is like an administration,
okay,
stuff like, and then so First Sergeant will go to Sergeant Major. Master Sergeant will go to Master Gunnery Sergeant.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what's the highest one?
Master Gunnery Sergeant or Sergeant Major. Okay. And then there's officers.
Okay. And then you can become an officer once you hit that
highest level?
No,
you can become an officer if you get a college degree and it's completely separate training.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like, think of it as like you have like the enlisted people are like your workforce.
Okay.
And then the officers are like your upper tier
management
okay. administration. But there are management positions within enlisted. But
okay.
Like an officer will outrank the highest enlisted, like the lowest officer.
So like what kinds of people would apply to be officers? Like would they generally have previous military experience or not always?
Not always. No.
Wow.
Yeah. Some kids are just straight out of high school, go to college and then boom.
And there's nothing they have to like do as far as training undergrad or being like ROTC or anything.
Well,
like
you could do ROTC, but they still have to go through like basic training and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So theoretically, like any college graduate could just apply to be an officer in the Marines.
As long as they meet certain criteria.
Okay.
And then also like, so they'll go through basic and then they have to go through what's called OCS, which is officer candidate training.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like, that's like their basic, and then they also go on to what's it called? TBS. I forget what the acronym stands for, but it's like their like infantry training, like their like war training.
Oh,
and
wow.
They do that for an entire year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like they just get to like coast in
no.
the resume and
no.
then they get to be powerful.
Yeah, so they're in for like over a year, year and a half by the time they're actually in charge of people.
So is combat training like a step up from like boot camp, or you're really like in the?
Not really. I mean, because they're doing like they're training so many people, it's the very basics.
Okay.
Like you're not really you're learning as you go along. Like mm-hmm. everything is a learning experience as you go along. Mm-hmm. Like you learn the very base, just like college. Like mm-hmm. remember college, you learn like very basic stuff, and mm-hmm. when you went to your job, you actually learned your job skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So it's not, it's actually sounds a little bit less, is it less physically intense or, I mean, is it a combination? The thing I've never known is it a combination of classes and like being physically?
Every unit is different.
Okay.
So yeah, it's not, no one person's experience is ever the same.
Okay.
Yeah, like, so like grunt units, like grunts are the people that actually like go out and fight.
Okay.
They have to be fit. That's all they do. All they do is train. They break down their weapons. They go over their different weapon systems. Like, their life is war.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you go to a logistics unit, all they're doing is, like, bringing stuff in, making sure it's there, capturing, you know, whatever information they need to capture about it, and then shipping it out.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, they say every unit is, like, crazy physically fit, but is it? Not really, no.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of overweight people.
Like cops. Basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But not as extreme.
Okay. Like,
you can get kicked out of the Marines for being
getting
overweight.
Getting too fat.
Yeah.
What's the limit?
It goes based on this. So they use the BMI.
Sure.
And then it after that, like if you're over your weight, then they tape you, like body fat percentage-wise, but they don't use skinfold calipers or anything. They just use tape. Yeah.
That's so kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because BMI as it is already like...
I know. So what some people do is they will wrap their stomachs in saran wrap.
Oh, yeah.
Like really big people.
And run and work out and stuff.
No, like and show up because they get
really?
Measured with their shirt on. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you can't have smoked weed 5 times, but if you want to saran wrap your stomach.
We won't even check.
Yeah, no, that's totally cool. That's messed up. So what
did
they,
gotta do?
So they give you warnings if like you are starting to like go over your BMI?
Oh yeah. So they'll start like just giving you like essentially detentions and demerits.
Oh really?
Yeah. And then like once you reach a certain point, they're like, all right, dude, now you got to go train with the, they call it BCP. I forget all that.
Yeah.
But like they call it like pork chop. Platoon.
Aww.
It's like all the big fat people. Like, no, I don't want to say fat. That's so mean to say. But yeah, it's like.
I mean, they are fat.
Yeah,
all,
they
those,
are fat.
All those thick Marines get sent there.
Thick Marines.
Awesome band name.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Thick Marines.
Thick Marines.
Corpusculent Corporal. So you did.
Yeah, I did basic, and then I went to MCT, which is Marine Combat Training.
Oh, okay.
And that's like, that was in North Carolina, and that was where we got to, I mean, it was a lot of hiking. It's not like a ton of running. It's just a lot of hiking, getting from place to place to place, and then like working with these different weapon systems. Okay. So like I got to throw a grenade.
Nice.
Yeah. I got to shoot a couple automatic machine guns, like the SAW. And I got to practice with a grenade launcher, and then one person got to practice with a rocket launcher.
Cool.
Like you get to shoot this tank. Yeah. It's pretty dope.
That's so cool. How long do you do that?
You do that for a month.
Okay.
And that was actually, so that was in North Carolina. That was in 2010. And I remember that was like one of the years where it was like the coldest it's ever been in North Carolina history, and it snowed the entire time.
Oh,
so
no.
We would sit outside for 8 hours at a time. Like, while all the, like, higher-ups would be indoors, like, planning and, like, taking in all the heat and watching TV and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd be, like, outside sitting. So, like, some people started, like, my fingernails started to turn yellow. And I looked that up, and that's, like, a sign of organ failure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So.
Jeez.
That's, and, I mean, like, are they pretty much not liable for anything that happens to people?
Yeah, if you die,
I mean, even, but I'm saying, like, in boot camp, like, if you die.
Yeah,
or,
if you die, like, obviously there's a big stink about it, but it's the government.
I mean,
they'll figure out a way.
To not.
Yeah.
Make it a big deal.
Yeah, he was a hero or something.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
He died with honor.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to think like your brother. Maybe they did plan 9/11. They're horrible people. The weed's kicking in. You can ask for this if you want to.
Sorry. Loose change,
it's,
everyone.
It's strawberry mojito flavored. Adam got it for me for Christmas, and I apparently don't smoke it enough because I still have a shitload left after 6 months.
Adam's good peeps.
He is a good peeps. So for combat training, you just literally learn everything you need to know, like on the front line sort of thing?
You learn how to master the basic weapon systems, and then you also do have to shoot like different like qualifications. So you shoot it. You do like a night shoot.
Okay.
You do a day shoot. And it's like all different type of like rapid fire shooting. And it's just, it's learning those weapon systems so that when you, if you ever have to pick them up again, you'll be comfortable with them. Mm. Whereas boot camp was just like breaking you down and like making you what we want to make you.
Okay. Right.
Like turning you into a Marine.
So when they break you down, it's mostly like a sort of mental, emotional sort of thing. Do you find that it was like the level of breaking down they had to do with, because I feel like, I mean, it's definitely got to be subjective based on the person, but do they just treat everybody the same across the board or? Not something.
Not so, I mean, they treated some people worse than they treated others.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like.
Because it probably takes more to break certain people down than others. Oh, yeah. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I feel like some people would, like, might just get a really bad attitude in a situation like that. Right.
There was a kid that used to cry, like the kid in the rack next to me. His name was Woods. I didn't really like him much, so I don't give a shit.
Fuck you, Woods.
Yeah, I hope you are listening to this. I hate you. you piece of shit. He used to cry every night.
That's kind of sad.
It was sad, but like and also. Spirit breaking. Yeah, he was the type of person that would get us in trouble all the time, though. So.
For what?
Just.
Like he would narc on you guys?
Making mistakes, which weren't really mistakes, but.
Like he would make a mistake?
Yeah, like he. He would, you know, not drill properly, like not step properly. Like, okay, so.
Oh, gotcha. Camp, so yeah. He'd be the one that they would fuck them, all of you guys up by yeah, not doing the right thing.
Exactly. They call them drill instructors because they lead drill, which is like just a glorified form of dancing.
Yeah.
Like marching.
Marching band.
Yeah, it's.
It's like you said it. I'm like, I know someone with a good joke about that. Oh, that's you.
It's basically like Hi. Cadet Kelly, like on steroids.
Oh, like they would. The drill instructors, they would just say dumb shit. Like, they'd be like, that bitch can drill. Like, that person can turn left really good. Like, awesome.
Did you see that turn?
That's so fantastic.
Did you see them flip that fake gun in the air?
He kind of sounds like the Vincent D'Onofrio character, this Woods. Like, you just find him with a gun to his throat when you walk into the bathroom. Just cry.
Oh, yeah,
how long did that, the whole boot camp, like the whole time he did that?
A good while, yeah. Oh, good probably Lord. Probably started about a month in.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
And that's like over three months, so that's a long.
Every day.
Long ass time. Maybe he was a plant and like, to like so you could withstand like the hearing of cries of like civilians, you can just like deal with like this guy.
Yeah.
Like, he was an absolute plant.
He was a total plant.
Yeah. If you just like lost your shit and
he was like Randall from the show Recess. He was just
you know that kid in gym class that tries too hard?
Yeah.
He was that kid.
But he wasn't good.
But he wasn't good.
See, the kid that tried too hard in ours was like he did all five sports and like, you know, his mom.
Okay, teacher. So he didn't trip people and like skin their knee?
No. He was actually like graceful and talented, but then he also tried way too hard. And we were like, sir, you do not need to show up the rest of us.
This is dodgeball.
Right, exactly. Playing fucking kickball. This is not necessarily. So after combat training, what did you have?
Then you go and you learn your job.
Okay. And do you get any say in like, you know, what you get to focus on or what you get to like?
In the beginning, you get like, so I was supposed to be a meteorologist, right? But 3 days before boot camp, I couldn't get my top secret security clearance. So I went not knowing what I was going to do. Mm. They picked it for me. And it was because of my, like, I had really high scores. Mm. So I got to be a computer networking operator.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you like it?
Yeah, I loved it. It was awesome. I got to actually work on, like, real-world computer, like, networking routers and switches that, like, literally run the internet.
Okay.
So you go to that. I went to school in 29 Palms, which is in California, and that's in the desert, in the Mojave Desert.
Okay.
So it's, like, really hot. And... Fun fact, the sand, like, they have these crazy sandstorms there, and when they have these sandstorms, you cannot be outside because the sand is like glass. It will mm-hmm. cut you up.
Is it called, what, Haboobs or something like that? It's a funny name.
Haboobs? Like, well, I mean...
It's the sandstorm. Like, there's, like, a name for sandstorms. It's like Haboobs or something, and then they were like, they're going to have to change this so people don't get offended or something.
God.
Yeah, it's a, I don't know, it's a Arabic word, but anyway, so you had sandstorms
when
you were in 29 Palms.
Yeah, which is... Awesome, I guess.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. We're in the Mojave Desert, so there's just these giant mountains everywhere.
Like, cool.
You just look out your window and you just, as far as the eye can see, that was cool. So, like, the whole time I was in warm weather, coming from Ohio, this is great,
mm-hmm.
right?
And that's okay. So, wait, combat training was in North Carolina, and then you do your job. The job was
in Twin Palms. Okay. Yeah, that for me.
Okay,
not for everyone. Right, but for me. Right. So then after Twin Palms, I got to go to Okinawa, Japan.
Cool.
Yeah, for 2 years.
What? So yeah. Jealous.
I lived there for 2 years.
Neat.
That place. Oh man,
that's like paradise, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I saw pictures. I was looking at when I went to Japan. I went to Japan like 3 years ago. And
I really want to go.
It amazes me how like the northern parts of Japan are like snowy and cold and like very similar to here. But then it goes so far south, you get in Okinawa and you're getting close to like Hawaii level. Like the pictures I saw anyway were like the water was like blue. There were palm trees. Like it looked beautiful.
Okinawa is like 900 miles away from mainland Japan.
No shit. Yeah. Okay.
It's a little tiny. They're more traditionally Chinese than they are Japanese. And if you ask them like what they are, they'll say they're Okinawan.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah. So
they don't identify with a country.
Yeah, because they were taken over in like the 14 or 1500s by Japan.
Okay.
Because Japan was like taking over the
everything.
City.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, man, that place was beautiful. It was crystal clear water. It was warm. I mean, we did have these crazy typhoons every summer.
Really?
Yeah, there'd be
typhoons. They're like hurricanes, right?
Like literally Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Every single weekend for the summer.
That's oh my what it's god! Like
there. Category 5. Every Holy Hurricane shit. Katrina was a category.
I think she's a 5.
I don't think.
Oh
she
no,
was
you're
a 5.
Right. They wasn't. They didn't expect as much damage yeah. just for as small. As, I don't
it
know.
Was a 2, and like we were getting like 4s and 5s every weekend.
My god.
Like, yeah, I saw a car get like dragged across the parking lot and flipped in the air.
Holy
it was insane.
Shit.
And it would, like, so living on a tropical island, it would, like, rain all the time, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't allowed to have cars.
Okay.
So we'd have to walk everywhere. Not, like, we'd have to get a haircut every week. So I'd have to walk a mile every week just to get a haircut and then walk back. And it would rain every single weekend.
Do you want any gel? You're like, no, there's no point.
No.
There's just no point.
They give you massages, though.
Oh,
after,
cool.
Yeah, after they cut your hair. They, nice. They like, do, like, this weird massage thing. And then they, like, clap their hands on your shoulders is like, I don't know if it's like a spiritual thing or whatever, but yeah.
Really cool. So the base there, you guys didn't get your hair cut on the base. You went
no, we did. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it was, but it was still a mile away is how big the
base was. Yeah. Oh yeah. The bases were huge.
How big is Okinawa?
I want to say like you can drive from one end to the other. It's like 40 miles.
Oh,
It's not that big.
Okay.
It's not that big.
So the base sounds like a significant part of it then.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, there's multiple bases.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's 7 Marine bases alone.
Wow.
And there's like 50 Army bases.
Wow. So, I mean, the island's just bases then.
Pretty much. It's just military. Like, we went there, we set up shop, and like there was all these airfields, and then they just built a city up around it. Like, it was just a tropical island.
Really?
The Japanese built up cities around it.
Wow. Yeah. So Japanese built cities around the base. The base is what started there probably World War II?
Yeah, they were already there.
Probably.
Oh,
yeah, Japan was using that as an airfield.
Oh.
Yeah, that was like during our island hopping campaign.
Okay.
We were going from island to island, like fighting them. Because we were working our way towards mainland Japan and we were going to invade.
Gotcha. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
We're learning so much history today, boys and girls. So you said you were there for 2 years and you were doing the computer.
Yeah, I did. It was called Data Network Specialist.
Okay.
So I was a glorified like help desk person.
Okay.
So I'd just go out and like, you know, shut people's computers off and turn them back on. And
like, please reboot your computer.
I had to fix a screensaver one time. That was pretty cool.
the flying button. Toasters.
Yeah, they were like, man, every time we leave the computer alone for a little bit, it turns black and this funny icon starts bouncing around.
Oh, God.
Like, what is that? So I had to go check it out. I'm like, this is a screensaver, dude.
What? That's amazing.
So I was in Okinawa for 4 months and a tsunami hit Thailand.
Oh, was that the 2004 one?
2011.
Okay.
Yeah, November 2011. And then I was one of 4 people in my squad who was tasked with going to Thailand and like helping with humanitarian aid. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Have you ever been to Thailand?
No, I want to.
Thailand makes Las Vegas look like Disney World.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it is just
I've heard
insanity, debauchery.
Yeah. Now, is that all Thailand or Bangkok?
The party areas.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't in Bangkok. I was in Pattaya.
Okay.
Which is like a touristy area. Like a lot of Eastern Europeans like to vacation there. Also, a lot of Indians and a lot of I want to say former Taliban actually like would move there, like retired Taliban would move there and like set up, you know, like shops and stuff and retire.
They're Brazil from like for the Nazis.
Yeah.
Was
it Brazil or was it Argentina?
It might be Argentina. It's Argentina.
And there's giant communities mm-hmm. there now. Mm-hmm. That's insane. That's so insane to think about.
Yeah. I know. It's absolutely insane.
It is weird.
There's like a joke. I think there was either a movie or a book about a guy who they thought was Hitler's clone, but he was from Brazil. It was called The Boys from Brazil or something like that. And I think they all spoke Portuguese. I don't know. Like, I'm getting this from Archer. I watch way too much Archer.
good show.
Yeah, it's so good. That's where that comes. So you said, how long were you in Thailand for?
So we were there for 3 weeks. We went there on a ship.
Oh, wow.
I found out I get seasick. Yeah. So I didn't bring any
Dramamine
with me. Mm-hmm. So like for the first week, I was just throwing up 5 times a day. I was miserable. And then I started taking the Dramamine. But we would have to stay up for like,
you know, 16. Oh, it makes you sleepy.
Yeah, it makes you sleepy. God. So if you stay up longer than 24 hours, you start to like hallucinate.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
And what kind of boat was it?
It was an LSD, which was like a – so it's flat on the bottom. And what happens is it has this bay that it opens up and it lets water flood into the bottom bay. And then there's ships in the bottom, like little tiny like ships that they can send out.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So like I'm trying to think. I don't know the exact name of it, but you know like that – it's like almost like a hoverboard, like the balloon – the balloon ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, it would send those out.
Oh, wow.
Those little rafts. That's kind of neat. Yeah.
Are they pretty big?
Oh, they're humongous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're cruise ship size or bigger or?
I would say about half the size of a cruise ship.
They're still pretty big.
Oh, yeah. Humongous, yeah.
How many? So, you said it was just 4 people on this boat?
Well, four people from my squad. Gotcha. So, the networking, the computer guys.
I see.
Yeah. There was about 50 of us, and then the Navy was there as well.
Okay.
So you were getting super seasick and
super seasick,
tired all the time.
The network went down. So because the network went down, none of us could go to sleep for 3 days.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Were you hallucinating so hard?
I was hallucinating.
Oh my God.
Yeah. By the third day I was talking to my buddy and they were like, hey, make this cable. Like, cause we've made networking cables on our own and I made it completely backwards. And my buddy's like, is everything okay? I'm like, dude, I'm seeing leprechauns.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He's like, relax. And he went and talked to my sergeant. My sergeant was like, go to sleep. Like, before you, because we were in like this big, like, briefing because we were about to land in Thailand. Yeah. And like, I'm like talking about hallucinating and stuff. And everyone's like, all right, keep him away from all the people.
That's happened to me before. It's so weird.
It's scary. And it's like, it's completely
I was like,
out
this guy is purple. And they were like, what? And I'm like, the sky is purple today. And they were like, no, it's not. Like, I was, oh, my God. And it was because I had, like, crazy sunburns where I had blisters all over my shoulders when I used to live in Mexico. And I literally couldn't lay down in any position without them popping.
Oh.
So we were in, like, these metal bunk beds, and I was just like this, leaning up against the wall, just, like, staring into, like, the dark while my, like, everyone else, like all the other interns, just like slept peacefully. Yeah. And I had like my little iPod and I'd just like listen to music.
Aww.
And then wake up because we'd have breakfast really early and I was just tripping out.
Oh my God.
I was on like 5 different medications.
Oh my God.
Oh, it was, So
they just gave you a bunch of peyote.
It's
and
a
we're
scary
like,
thing.
Did you fall asleep outside? Like,
no, it was crazy. Like, we literally on our day off, we decided to take like a little road trip up into the mountains and it was significantly cooler up there, but the sun was so much more intense.
Yeah.
That like I just was dumb. Like, I didn't put enough sunscreen on. And I think I was only out of the car for about 40 minutes when we stopped in this little like farm town to like eat lunch. And yeah, it was crazy. And then like by that night I had blisters starting to form. And the thing was though, I would be like staying up all night, but I would eventually pass out and I would wake up and a bunch of blisters would just be popped and like, it was because my body would just literally just kept shutting down. Like, even though I didn't want to sleep, I wasn't really sleeping. I was just
passing out.
Yeah. Basically just passing out. So yeah, that was fucking terrible.
Another lesson learned. Go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's if you're up for like,
24 hours, you're legally drunk?
It's like 2 days or 3 days, you're legally insane.
Yeah, 3 days.
Oh my God. You could actually plead insanity if you killed someone. What? If you're up.
Yeah,
you because your brain is just.
Holy shit.
It does crazy things.
Even just after 3 days. Lack of sleep. Which is nuts. Okay. So, sorry, you were going to say something.
I was going to say, you know what else makes your brain do crazy things? I just did DMT and acid for the first time.
Okay, please enlighten me. I don't know what DMT is. This is the second time I've heard this.
DMT is dimethyltryptamine. What it is it's the... It is a chemical that is produced in your pineal gland, and they think it is the chemical that makes you dream, and they also think it is the chemical that is released when you die.
Oh,
so,
shit.
Yeah. So, you, like, do
I
see...
I can never take that.
You see things. It only lasts 10 minutes, and, like, afterwards, you're just, like, this again. Like, okay. You're just, like, normal. You're just, like, hey.
You don't have a hangover.
You don't have any hangover. It's just, like, you... It's, like, you go in it, and you feel like you're... You, so, your heart starts pounding, and you're, like... You smoke it, by the way. Your heart starts pounding, and, like, you start, like, internally vibrating. Yeah. You feel like you're traveling through, like, a dimensional portal.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then, like, once you get to wherever you're going, like, you see these crazy geometric shapes. You, like, what? I saw a woman that was, like, calling me towards her.
Oh, my God.
And I looked it up. That's supposedly, like, Mother Ayahuasca. It's, like, something that, like, people see when
Holy
they
shit.
Do it. Yeah, it's, like, a...
Ayahuasca, is that what that is? I keep seeing it on our Twitter, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell ayahuasca is.
DMT is, so ayahuasca is the plant, the actual plant, it's only found in, like, South America and, like, certain parts of the Middle East.
But they drink?
Yeah, they drink it.
They
cook it a certain way, and they have to cook it with these certain leaves that have what's called an MAO inhibitor in it.
Oh, okay.
Because if you eat the like, because, like, DMT's in grass.
Like, just grass out here?
Like, in pretty much every, like, plant life.
Okay.
Like, if you just go out there and eat grass, though, you're not going to get high from it. Because our body has an MAO inhibitor in our guts.
Okay.
So they somehow found that they could mix these certain leaves together and get rid of that effect, and they could drink it.
Okay.
So if you drink ayahuasca, it's DMT, but it's, like, instead of, like, it being super intense and only lasting 10 minutes, you, like, kind of gradually work up to it, and then it gets, you know, you throw up and stuff, and it lasts about 5
you
hours.
Can get yeah, really, I don't want you that. Can get that really sick. Terrible. It's, like, a whole experience.
Yeah.
You can do it with a shaman, and
exactly.
He'll take
it
with you,
do it with
and
a
he,
shaman.
like throwing spiritual,
so,
like...
So, see, I would much rather have the 10-minute non-puke trip. I don't know why anybody
Well,
would
not
choose.
Everyone throws they, up, but it's also one of those things where if you go into it with, like scared or nervous, you could have a really crazy bad trip, and it basically pulls all of your, like, internal memories and, like,
it's talking
internal feelings just out in the open.
Because
you
know,
experience all
you
of it.
People told me
them.
That about weed too, which some of those things are true. I'm just wondering, like, if it just affects the same part of your brain.
Weed makes you think. DMT makes you talk to your subconscious.
Okay.
Like, you'll you'll ask it questions and it'll be like, you're fine. Just do this, and it literally
you
reroutes
have crazy realizations.
Parts
of you just tried it for the first time recently?
Yeah, it changed me.
I mean, is it one of those things like acid where you should only do it like 4 times a year? So you're like,
yeah, you should never do. I wouldn't. I just did acid for the first time too.
Yeah, we've talked about this a couple times recently because Adam has all of the acid and mushrooms in the world, but he only does them when he goes to like concerts. So like 5 times a year. But he's
that
been telling
amazing.
Me. He's been telling
Let's
me
talk
for
to
a
Adam.
While. Yeah, he's the best. He's established. He's the best. He keeps telling me I should try LSD.
Yeah.
Because he said it's, like, really kind of cool. But that was another refrain was, like, just be in a good state of mind. Mm-hmm. Like, make sure we're, like, not fighting. Like, make sure we're happy somewhere. Like.
Okay. So I did it with Amber Maida and her cousin.
We may have to redact that if she doesn't want anybody
to
know.
Oh, no. She won't care.
Oh, she won't care.
We've talked about
openly
this.
Openly discussed
we've
this on stage.
About this.
Okay. All
this changed my life. Okay.
We've Snapchatted about it.
We did acid, and we were going to go to Nelson's Ledges.
Oh, God.
Because this is my first time. Yeah, so we get there. It's in Kent.
This sounds like
Kent.
An old 80s movie.
Yeah. So we take it. It takes about an hour
to
kick in. And we go out there, and we have like a half hour before it kicks in. And like we get there, and they're like $100. And we're like, okay, we're not paying that. We're not paying that to hang out with them. It's like we got there. There's fences. There's a bunch of hippies and fires. And it just did not look like fun. It's tense.
Was it an event?
It's like a hippie commune.
Okay.
Yeah. But, like, people go there, so I figured, hey, Nelson's Ledges, I've heard the name, let's why not try it.
And they wouldn't let you into the hippie commune?
We had to pay $100.
A person?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
No, for our car. Mm. But, like, we had to sleep in our car, we didn't have a tent, it was like, it just wasn't a good vibe. So we drove, we were driving back towards Cleveland, and it started to kick in. And
how long did it take, would you say?
It took about an hour.
Okay.
Yeah. So do you know where the Natural History Museum is?
Yeah, I love the Natural
History Museum. You know where that, like, is that University Circle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, like, we just hung out there in University Circle from 11:30 till 5 a.m.
That sounds really fun.
Literally, okay, so, like, I felt like I was in the Lord of the Rings. Like, because that's what acid feels like. It's like, it's just like you're on a trip. You're just like going
around. It's like an eye of Sauron falling everywhere.
Yeah, picture like having conversations with like all the trees in the park. And we found wind instruments, chimes and stuff.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, it was incredible.
That sounds fun.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I've heard about. And I don't know if it's this way with DMT. It kind of sounds like it. But the thing I've heard repeatedly about acid is that like, you're going to want to do it all the time.
Yeah.
But like, you really need to only do it like quarterly. Like you should not.
It's very euphoric.
Yeah. It's, and it can, well, and it can, really can't. I mean, they've been looking at microdosing, I think, right now for
mushrooms.
Depression. Yeah. With mushrooms.
Psilocybin.
Yeah. And then I've seen recent reports about LSD. They're thinking about, because, you know, they used to use it back in what, the '60s or seventies.
Yeah.
Trying to
MDMA.
Oh, okay.
They're looking on legalizing MDMA, which is
Molly.
Ecstasy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause they used that in the '80s to help with like troubling marriages. They would give it to couples that were, you know, they had like,
really?
And it worked so well that ravers started taking it, and that's what ruined it.
That's kind of interesting. I mean, you can now see the pattern of like they were using LSD in what, like the '50s to treat like mental issues.
The government created it. The government created it to use it as like a weapon to like get people to reveal secrets, like spies.
Yeah,
and stuff
like a tactic.
But it made people smart. They found out that it made them smarter.
Holy shit.
And they didn't reveal anything.
Okay.
So then that's why they banned it.
Because then you can see, like, that's how it got picked up as, like, a recreational thing.
Yep.
And, like, and you're talking about how ecstasy in the 80s led to, like, recreation in the 90s. That's really interesting. I never really
knew
that was the whole progress.
Well, there was, there were people that were traveling the country, like, talking about these drugs and introducing people to them. Like, Terrence McKenna came up with the, are you familiar with Terrence McKenna?
Mm-hmm.
Came up with the stoned ape theory.
Oh, wait.
We were just
Ryan was talking about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last week.
Yeah. So Terrence McKenna came up with this theory that, like, because obviously human beings were migratory when we first were developing in Africa like that. So what these planes that they would travel down, they would have these certain types of, I want to say antelopes. They would eat these certain types of mushrooms, and they would shit them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it would turn into psilocybin. So these people would be traveling, like, year after year just, every time they saw shit, they would eat these mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So they just took so many mushrooms over the course of millions of years that their brains expanded. They became intelligent, abstract thought, and they evolved quicker than other.
Well, and then the asteroid had all these like elements in it from space. Because wasn't it from space that they, it was like an asteroid, or because of what our planet was made up.
That was when Earth was forming early.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we all have like stardust.
Stardust. We're stars. Stars explode.
We all have the exact same elements as like
four
the
major elements. Yeah. We're all made of four
Mind
major
is
elements.
Blown.
Trippy.
I haven't even had any DMT.
You're a star.
So is DMT like the new thing that kids are doing? Because I like literally this is the second time I've ever.
No, DMT's
been around
for a while. Joe Rogan's been talking
I'm
about
so
DMT.
Out of the
Joe Rogan
for like 20 years.
Really.
Yeah, but it's so hard to get a hold of.
Oh, okay.
It's ridiculously hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
So.
You damn kids and your drugs. Well, that was the thing. And I was like, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to try acid. Because, like, it took me, I didn't try weed until I was 30. I'm 36 now.
Okay.
And it took me that long just to not be afraid of weed. So, and I know that's fine now. But, like, with all the, like, caveats and warnings I've heard about. So, I don't know. I think I'm just okay with, like, being the only one of my friends who hasn't tried.
Yeah, like, there's nothing in me that is like, no, you're missing out. So I'm kind of just good. But at the same time, I have a really fucked up heart.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I just feel like I don't want to die, like in the dumbest way. Or will it be the best way?
Yeah, I was going to say,
you don't know.
I will become fully
way.
Alive right
Dude,
when I die.
Yeah.
Go
and
do
I will
it
be.
In University Circle and you'll get to meet dinosaurs and...
Like, that's my thing. Like, if it's a, like, drug-fueled orgy and I'm buried under, like, the cast of Mad Men and that's how I die, yeah, that's fine. I am totally down with all of
Take me. Take me, Jesus.
Were
you raised Catholic?
That's the best way, yeah, I was.
It's a Catholic guilt. That's
what it is.
That's what it is. That's why you feel bad about it.
About drugs?
Yeah. Because
that's
why I feel bad about it.
Yeah. If you have like, a strong religious background, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you have this radar in your head about certain things, and you're like,
well, in your family, they're just always like, I don't like
Oh, well, you know what's great, though, is I don't know, like, if your family, either of your families are this way, but my parents are like, so much more fucking progressive than they've ever been in their lives. Wow. And it's because they've seen their daughter go get tattoos. My mom was always like, tattoos are trashy. You should never get them. And I have like 100 tattoos now. And so my mom's like, I want a tattoo. So we went and got her a fucking tattoo. And then my dad got one 6 months later.
That's right. I forgot your
dad. Yeah. And then my mom went to Oregon last summer. And I was like, oh, yeah. When Adam and I, like when I was growing up, she was like, if you ever smoke weed, like I'm kicking you out of the house. This is terrible. And then we were like, I told her, I was like, oh, yeah, Adam and I went there. You know, we were there last fall. We stopped at like 8 dispensaries on the way to the beach. And she was just like, I mean, I could probably try edibles. And I was like, what?
The devil's lettuce, man. Holy
but it's
crap.
Just like, that's the thing. We were brought up Catholic. I have all that Catholic guilt. Oh, but I think edibles. She's starting to realize like everything my grandmother fed her is bullshit.
It's the power of the
she
media.
She sees me going out and doing all these things and I'm perfectly fine. So.
Exactly. It's just that, it was that like, just that guilt that they
that
put
Reefer
on
Reefer Madness
yeah.
guilt.
Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness was actually funded by a church group.
Yeah. Okay, that
that's
makes
why,
sense.
Yeah, that's why I got like.
I thought you were going to say the military. I was like, that makes sense too.
It was
actually.
Like specifically put out to.
Well, it was made and then they got a hold of it and they like kind of put their stamp on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I used to own that movie.
Did they drug test you in the military?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, just random?
I never did drugs.
There was never a reason for them. They just could randomly screen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and I found out later on that everyone in my unit, everyone was doing drugs.
Really?
Yeah.
So is it just, like, trying to plant the seed of, like, maybe I shouldn't do drugs and, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't really care?
It was a zero, no, it was a zero tolerance.
So how was it, how are they getting away with it?
They weren't doing it in, like, then getting tested the next day. Like, some people would get caught and they'd get kicked out.
Okay.
Like, yeah, people were, like, snorting. I found out people were snorting cocaine. Smoking spice was a big
What's
thing.
That?
Spice? Synthetic marijuana.
Oh, my God.
Like, K2.
And oh, that shit will kill
Actually,
you, right?
It will kill
a bunch
you.
Of people who died recently,
yeah.
right?
Beginning of college, I want to say, spice was, like, a
thing.
Big thing.
Yeah.
And people were getting fucked up.
That's
from
when
it.
I was in. Was
yeah.
when everyone was going to
that
college. So
okay.
when it was coming out and you couldn't test for it and... Yeah, there was this one kid that I remember, we heard a story, this kid, so like all the, everything was like a dorm, so it was stacked up.
Mm-hmm.
This kid jumped off the third floor balcony in like head first, like like straight up nosedived into the back of someone's truck, the
oh
bed
my
of someone's
God.
Truck, yeah, and was paralyzed for the rest
oh
of his life.
Oh my God,
yeah.
That's from the spice?
From the spice, yeah, it made him go crazy. He saw like shadow monsters or something.
I really want to know, though, like, you're talking about doing synthetic marijuana. It sounds like that gives you worse hallucinations, obviously, than regular marijuana.
Yeah.
Or
oh, yeah.
if it's on the same level as things that are, you know, LSD and DMT. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
spice was crazy. I knew so many people who were doing it. And it was just like...
Is that not a thing people do anymore?
I mean, weed's so prevalent.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think
get,
it's that
cheap.
Much of a thing.
Yeah.
Actually, this is what I want to tell you about.
No, it's heroin.
Earlier.
Oh yeah, you want to talk
yeah.
about something?
So I was watching this movie called Broken Flowers yesterday. It's a great
movie. I love that movie.
Bill Murray. It's the first time I've seen it. It was fantastic.
It's good.
The scene at the end when like
that made me mad.
Well, I mean that's the amazing part about it is because like he never gets to find his son and he had to go through all that bullshit
yep.
and he's just like
spoiler alert, but it's been out for like 15
years. Yeah, whatever.
So if you
guys,
I need to watch it anyways.
But yeah, so I was watching that. I was smoking weed and then all of a sudden. I heard a really loud and rapid knock at my door. So Greg Kennedy was supposed to come over. So I'm like, all right, Greg's here. He's playing a joke. So I like look through the people. It's the cops.
What?
Yeah. So like, I'm like, oh my God.
Wait,
like,
when was this?
Yeah, this was yesterday. I immediately went white. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So
I mean, were you just worried because you were high?
Or? I was high. It smelled like weed in my house.
Okay.
Like, yeah, so
can you really do anything besides give you a ticket now?
Well, here we go.
Okay, right, sorry.
So I unlock the door. I open it up. God. I'm like, what seems to be the problem, officers? And they're like, hey, Josh, yeah, your car's been going off. The horn keeps beeping. Is there anything wrong with it? I mean, is this okay? I'm like, oh, crap. You know what? Let me get my keys. And, like, I kind of, like, shut the door. Like, I was like, let me just get my keys. So my head's just, like, poking out. So I, like, close the door really quick. I grab my keys and, like, go outside. And I left my lights on, I found out. So I'm walking up to the cop's car. Like, they're parked in the street. And I'm, like, just going to let them know, like, hey, I left my lights on. And they're like, okay, everything's fine. You're good to go. But I noticed the one cop was smiling. So, like, I started to walk away, and they're like, hey, Josh, just so you know, your apartment smells great. And I'm like, thank you, officer. He's like, yeah, you're not going to get in trouble or anything. So white privilege is definitely a thing.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. that makes me feel gross.
Wait, he said that?
Well, no, I'm
just. Oh, like, I was like,
summarizing. Like, I'm just like thinking in my head. Summary, like,
Oh, for sure.
Like, oh, okay. Sure. So yeah, I would have definitely been in trouble.
Apropos that, I loved your and Jasmine's latest video,
Thank you.
I laughed so hard at that.
Josh,
there was a couple.
Is an accomplished, what do you say, producer, director, filmmaker, filmmaker?
Yeah, films. Like, I just like making films.
Yeah.
The Slavery is a Choice one that had me, like, on the floor.
You guys should check it out. Is it on Jasmine's website?
It's on Jasmine's YouTube.
Okay.
Slavery was a Choice. So, like, we made the Slavery was a Choice and obviously the whole Kanye thing. Mm-hmm. We shot, like, this slavery video in her backyard. And It was awesome.
Wearing, like, a... old, like not straw prospectors, hat. Like a straw hat, like he owns a plantation.
Yeah, you guys were hilarious. Yeah.
And then we shot another one yesterday about that lady that called
old Kate.
Yeah.
I just love that your shirt, it just said police.
Police, yeah.
And then you had like a badge hanging around your neck.
And then I liked you had a face mask at the end. Like, you played multiple people throughout the.
When you guys were in the grocery store at the one point, when they were buying all the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. It was so packed, too.
Yeah, I saw all the people in the back, and I was like, I feel like those people probably think that it was actually happening, because that's just everyday life nowadays, is like some like white bitch coming like, they're buying
and
all
then
the
everyone's
cool.
standing around on their cell phones reporting the woman who's reporting.
I would not be surprised if a video of your guys' video ended up on someone else's YouTube.
Were the people in the store pretty like cooperative? Or?
Yeah, they were cool about it after like we set it up, we shot it, and then this one lady, like we were like pulling the camera away. She's like, all right, I need to get the crystal light.
She's like, no, but really, I need the crystal light.
I need it now.
She was pretending to need crystal light, but I need it.
Yeah, I kept watching. I was like, shit, there's a lot of people in this store, and like all of them seem to be behaving for like the filming of
what
this
store
day.
Was it at?
Walmart.
See, it looked like
in Parma.
I say it looked like the Walmart because I could see like the aisle signs, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, those look like Walmart aisle signs.
That was fun.
I was just picturing it being like at the 117th Giant Eagle, and that made it even funnier to me. I don't know why.
It would have been easier. I shot something at the 117th Giant Eagle though. I shot this VR project called Manchild.
Oh, I need to watch that.
Yeah, it's on my YouTube if you guys want to watch it. Josh Lawhorn.
Josh Lawhorn YouTube. Yeah. Is that your username on YouTube?
Yeah, it's my username on YouTube. It's me in a suit. Doing the whole finger
guns. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, his videos are great. You guys, you mostly do you do sketch, or is it like talk a little bit about some of the stuff you've done?
I just like to make videos. Like, it doesn't have to be funny. I just want them to look good. Like, so I work with AJ DeCosmo. We have this little kind of film crew called Handled Animals. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're all just experimenting right now. We're working up. We're going to do a feature at the end of this year, like around autumn, winter, because that's when Cleveland is Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we want to shoot something in black and white around then. But before that, in July 13th through the 15th, we're going to be doing the 48-Hour Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of that?
Mm-mm.
So what it is the 48-Hour Film Festival is you go there. It starts at 7. You get a genre that you have to make a movie about, and you get one line. Yeah, and then you have 48 hours from start to finish to make this movie happen.
And what are your length requirements? Like, how long does it take to be?
I think like 2 minutes, like minimum. Yeah. Okay. It's not any lengthy, you know, thing like that. But, you know, you have 48 hours to make a film, and I don't know if you've ever shot anything. It takes forever. Mm-hmm. Like 5 hours of footage would be like 1 minute worth of video.
Wow.
So, yeah, so you got to write a script, storyboard, all that stuff, start to finish, 48 hours.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That sounds fun, though.
It does. Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, I'm not going to sleep for 2 days, but...
Have you done it before?
No.
Okay.
This is my first time. Yeah.
Can you start out with any sort of, like, pretense about what you want to do with this?
Like, wouldn't that kind of be cheating, though? Like, isn't the whole point of it to...
It's supposed to be, like, freestyle.
Yeah, yeah. It's to, like, to make something from start to finish in 48 hours to, like, you know, put it up against other people that did the same thing. I would feel like that would be cheating if we... I mean, obviously prepare, like, we could, like, prepare different types of shots we wanted to use. Yeah, and stuff like that. But I wouldn't ever want to have anything pre-prepared like that, no.
And how many people get to participate in it?
The team. How many other people it takes.
How many teams are there?
Right now, I think I saw 7.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's some pretty big heavy hitters. Like, Johnny K. Wu is
Oh yeah, I was yeah. in a I was an extra in a film for
okay,
him.
Okay, yeah, yeah. He's like,
is that the one
like,
we went?
Yeah, the one you went to. Yeah, with me. I was he's a project cool. Kung Fu 1337 or whatever. It's
was
like
that the Spider Man thing?
No, the Doctor Who.
Okay,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a really nice guy. Have you been to a soundstage?
Uh-uh.
He has a soundstage in Chinatown in Cleveland, mm-hmm. and it's the second largest soundstage or second largest green screen in Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just a soundstage that's the entire thing is a green screen. It's humongous.
Wow.
You never even expect it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
What was I going to ask? Oh, damn you, weed. we were talking about Johnny Woo, and he's going to, is he one of the guys on your team? Or, okay, but he's going to be.
He's got his own team.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. I'm assuming at the end when the 48 hours is like the deadline hits, like, cause it's 48 hours from when you're issued it and when yeah. it has to be turned in.
Yeah. So then there's like a screening and there's okay. like a best of and.
Does that all happen that same day or is that?
No. It's, okay. So it's like a, over the course of that week.
Okay.
So I think it commences on the 24th, July 24th.
That's cool. Yeah. So then how many videos or I guess movies or films would there be submitted?
How many ever teams
there
yeah,
are?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it could be a potentially pretty long. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It could be. I've never done it, so I don't know what to expect. Could be.
Have they done this in years past?
Before? Oh, yeah. They do okay. it every 6 months.
Oh, okay.
There's one in October and there's one like around May, June, July.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So there's a, like a specific panel that judges that like chooses the best film or no?
You know, I don't know too much about that. Like, okay. I'm not really worried about the judging or
yeah,
anything.
Yeah.
I just want to make the film.
It's just yeah. such right, an right. interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry that I didn't do more research.
No, please. You're fine. We're just like, we want
to. No, I was just curious. I got
to
like,
look it up. We're going
to
look it up later.
I go to the
show.
Cleveland International Film Festival every
okay.
year.
Okay. Yeah.
So I just wondered if it was like that same type of format.
How did you like it this year? Did you go this year?
Yeah, I did.
Did you check out the Perspectives booth?
I did. I made the mistake, I guess you could say, of going to the dance one where...
The music video where you're in the studio.
Well,
and like
I thought that it was going to be like as if I was like at a concert or mm-hmm. like at a rave or something. And I was going to be like dancing
yeah.
and like look around at all these other ravers. Like I didn't know what it...
Like you're on DMT?
You didn't
yeah,
know what to
basically.
Expect, yeah.
And so I was just by myself and there's like a woman standing there talking to me. I accidentally hit her at one point by accident. I was like... And it was just literally me in a white room going through like two, like eight different white rooms. And it would count down. And I had to dance.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And then I'd go in the next room.
Yeah,
and I was like, this
fun.
Is so boring. I'm
fun.
Not seeing anything. I'm like, yeah. am I supposed to see anything? She's like, no, it's just going to play back your dance moves.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care. I'm a way better dancer than this right now. Like,
that one was
this
dumb.
Isn't me dancing.
I that's think amazing. They were doing that as like a motion capture thing. Like, I think that's going to be used
they were
for
stealing
something else.
Your movement data.
Because yeah. it wasn't anything shit. Cool. It was like you dance and you're only dancing with your hands.
Mm. I was dancing like it was like Friday Night Lights or something. I'm
yeah,
like,
but
this
it's
isn't
only tracking
I...
your hands. Yeah. It only tracked your hands.
Yeah.
If you like go through it, like you like travel through like this, like.
It was like a hole in the wall,
in the
and you
wall,
were just
and like you look over, and it's like just like these lines, like
you, yeah, look, they looked like glow sticks, and they were moving
exactly,
like
yeah.
how you moved, and I would just be like looking at it, like okay,
that was a Google. I think Google made that too.
9/11 was an inside job. The government's
it
stealing
was.
Your data.
Yeah, well, they're screwed if they're going off of that movement.
Facebook is the Illuminati.
have you submitted anything to like festivals or anything before?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. No.
How long have you been doing film stuff?
For about 2 years.
Okay.
I studied it at CSU.
Okay.
I didn't study film, like, primarily. I studied film and interactive media. Mm-hmm. So I took, like, a combination of classes. And interactive media entails, like, virtual reality and augmented reality and video games.
Right. Oh, Liz is here. It's
oh,
fine.
We got a little visitor.
You know Liz. Hi, Liz!
Liz!
We're wrapping up.
Hi, beautiful.
So did you like just kind of gradually start picking up equipment and
yeah I primarily shoot on my iPhone X.
Yeah, I've seen you shoot a few things on
yeah
there,
and I got these special lenses. They're called Moment lenses.
Okay.
And they're I didn't bring any, I'm sorry, I should have, but like they're really like fantastic glass, like fantastic lenses. And mm-hmm. they're premium, so they're really expensive. They're mm-hmm. about $90 per mm-hmm. lens.
Yeah.
And they turn your phone into like you can make a movie with your
that's
phone.
Really
that's
cool.
awesome.
Like a legit movie.
And then through school, did you kind of figure out what equipment you know you should use or software
yeah.
for editing or?
Yeah. So the right now, I mean, we can only afford like cheap camera. Like, there's really good cameras, like
sure.
DSLR cameras.
Yeah.
My buddy has a Canon 80D, which is like that's entry level if you're going to want to shoot a film. Editing software, Adobe Premiere, Avid, or Final Cut.
And you learned that stuff?
Yeah. I learned Avid's the hardest. Avid is like what the NFL and like WWE, like live TV uses.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And Adobe Premiere. Like editing software, once you learn how to edit, editing software isn't that bad.
Yeah, no.
Right. Adobe Premiere is like the industry standard. That's what they use in most movies. So
okay.
That's the best one.
Yeah, that's the one thing I do notice is that like, I mean, you definitely strive for quality in the shorts and the films that I've seen. Like there's like the imagery anyway is so much more high quality than what most people are. And I mean, most people are just dicking around.
They don't know. You have to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
You should look into like submitting, because they have like a shorts program at the film festival every year.
Yeah, they should have look a couple. Into it. I definitely am. I just had a lot going on with comedy and school that I didn't want to overwhelm myself and have a nervous breakdown.
Smart.
Yeah.
You are smart.
Yeah.
I haven't learned that lesson yet.
Well, you're killing it.
Yeah, well, nervous breakdown.
I'm just whelmed.
I'm whelmed. All right. So you mentioned you are Josh Lawhorn on YouTube. Yes. Is there any other social media you want to promote?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at JLawComedy, and I'm also just Josh Lawhorn on Facebook.
Do you have any events happening around the beginning of July, first half of July?
No, I don't have any big shows coming up.
Okay.
I'm going to be going to Michigan at the end of June with Amber Maida. I'm just going to be doing a couple shows there, and then the 48 and... I'll be golden after that.
Right on.
Everything set up.
Yeah, you guys should definitely check out his videos. They're hilarious, especially the latest couple they've come out with. Gigi, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram, Gigi Chick, G.G.CHICK.
You can find me at Epic Fall, EPICFAUL, on Twitter and Instagram. The last Sunday of every month, you can find me at Bar Louie downtown for our reversed roast battle, known as a toast prattle. I'm having a stroke right now. See, I told you, nervous breakdown. and the first and third Sundays of every month at Skidmark Garage for Couch Gags, which is a little comedy showcase that we put together. Thank you, Pete Milk, for doing recording and production, and Above Below Entertainment for being our network. And Kay, love you. Bye.